We turn to the last book of the Bible, this time chapter 7, Revelation chapter 7. We wish to read the entire chapter. And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God for ever and ever. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Our text for this preparatory service for the Lord's Supper is the verses 13 to 15. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. The book of Revelation tells us things which must shortly come to pass. And one of the things that must shortly come to pass is when God's church shall be triumphant, when God's church shall be glorified, when they shall be in heaven, all of them together, the whole family of God. And what a happy people who have that prospect, who belong unto God and shall be with God forever. And this chapter tells us and gives us a glimpse of them. It tells us a number, a symbolic number of 144,000. And this number stands for the whole Israel of God, spiritual Israel. And then we are given to see this glimpse into this multitude of people, of Jews and Gentiles, of all nations, tribes, people and tongues, a multitude which no man can number. And we are told that they are wearing white robes. What are they doing? This multitude in heaven, they are singing. Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And then the angels, they join in worship too with this heavenly multitude, singing Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And John is given to see this. And how do you think he takes this all in? With wonder and with amazement, I think. But then there is a question that is raised to John. One of the 24 elders asks John a question, and it is a question that no doubt John has been asking himself. Who are these? What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? That's an important question, isn't it? Who are these in heaven? Who are these that belong to this happy multitude, this blessed company? John, he doesn't know. Or he doesn't fully know. And so he says, Sir, thou knowest. And then the elder says two things about them, who they are and where they came from. And the one thing tells us that their robes have been made white in the blood of the Lamb. And that's the one thing that we are particularly interested in this afternoon. But the elder also says something else. The elder also tells John where they come from, what they have gone through, what they have experienced. They have come out of the great tribulation, he says. Now, does he mean that to say that these people have all come out of the great tribulation? You know, that great tribulation that is yet to come, of great persecution for the church and of great trials. You know, the scripture tells us that a time is coming for God's people in which they will be tried as never before, as Jesus says, that there shall be a great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be, in Matthew 24, verse 21. You know, there is a time coming when the power of the Antichrist shall be at its highest, and the enmity against God's people shall be at its greatest. And those who have a mark of the Lamb will not be able to buy or sell. Is that what the elder is referring to? To the time of the great tribulation? I think he is referring to something that the church has known all along. Tribulation. John says of himself in chapter 1, verse 9, that he is a companion in tribulation. And really, that is the story of the entire church. They've gone through tribulation. From one tribulation to another. No, it's not always experienced to the same degree. And it's not always experienced in the same form. But the enemy of God's people always finds ways of expressing its enmity and its hatred against God's people. In one form or another. Mockery or insults. Physical tribulations or spiritual assaults. Think just of one home in the Old Testament. A home. The home where Isaac was born. For in that home there was an Isaac. But there was also an Ishmael, who mocked and who hated. And so the church has gone from age to age through tribulation, through temptation. And the greatest temptation, Samuel Rutherford said, the greatest temptation of hell is to live without temptation. So the call of Christ is still applicable today. Take up the cross and follow Him. But we want to look this afternoon especially at what is said of this company, especially what is said of their robes, that they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And that brings us to our theme, the Christian's robe made white in the blood. The Christian's robe made white in the blood. First, the need of washing. Second, the method of washing. And thirdly, the effect of washing. The Christian's robe made white in the blood. First, the need for washing. Second, the method of washing. And thirdly, the effect of washing. The need for washing. So we may hear of this elder speaking to John, and he tells us of a people with their robes. And these robes have been washed. Now that means that they also needed to be washed. For usually you don't wash what is clean, do you? You only wash what is dirty. It is the dirty laundry that goes into the washing machine. Well, these people have had to wash their dirty robes. But someone says, these are saints in heaven. We are given this afternoon to look at the saints, the people of God in heaven. And they have stood against the world. And they have not been afraid to suffer. And they have stood for the truth. They were godly and God-fearing, and they loved the Word of God, and they loved the house of God, and they longed to be with God. And then we can so think of the saints in heaven that we are inclined to think that they are holy of themselves. And that is not so. That is not so for any of them. And so we need to ask again, what kind of people are these? Filthy people of themselves. Yes, it is true that not one of them among this throng in heaven was without a love for the Word of God and was without a love for the Lord. But all of that does not remove the filth of their soul. That does not take away their foul and vile sin. Even though they came out of great tribulation, and then we can think of those who have come out of great tribulation as those who maybe need the washing the less. But God's people, when they go through tribulation and when they face temptation, do they not sin also in such times? Is it not so that God's people passing through trials are also sinning? Everything they say and do is stained with sin. And the elder, he doesn't say, these came out of great tribulation with white robes. He doesn't say that these have come unto God with their own white robes. No, filthy. And we get a picture of this in Zechariah 3, don't we? And there we read of Joshua, the high priest, standing before the Lord. And if you look at his clothes, then you see that his clothes are not so clean. They're filthy garments. They speak of pollution and they speak of filth. And these citizens in heaven were no different. Now they are wearing white robes. But of themselves they had filthy robes. They'd stained the garments of their soul. They were unclean. How come? What had soiled their garments? What made them so dirty in their soul? Well, the dirt of the sin outside of them. You know, the world. For these people had also lived in the world. And they had faced the lusts of the world, and the pleasures of the world had been offered to them, and they had taken the pleasures of the world up into their eyes and into their minds, and they had taken it up into their hands, and they had thought on it, and they had become polluted from the outside. Let me use an illustration. When you go for a walk on the side of the road, and you walk along and then a car passes by you. And just as he passes by you, there's a puddle. And he drives through that puddle. What happens? The spray makes you muddy and dirty. It lands upon your clothes. And those clothes now need to be washed. And so it is with the dirt of the world. The sin of the world, taken up with the eye, taken up into the mind, handled with our hands, walked in with our feet, that dirties us. But there is something else that soiled their garments. Not only the dirt from outside of them, but also the dirt of sin from within them. That which comes out of their own hearts. The filth of sin from within themselves. Isn't that so? Jesus speaks of this, doesn't he, in Mark chapter 7, verse 20. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth man. For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Sin that comes from within. And here you can think of another illustration. You put on your clothes. But underneath your clothes you have a wound. And that wound, you cannot stop its flow. It bleeds. And what happens then? Well, then you may not necessarily walk along the side of the road and a car hitting a puddle splashes you and makes you dirty. But still, your clothes will get dirty from this wound that is underneath your clothes. And so it is with sin. It flows from within. They dirty our garments. And one day, at one time it may be a murderous thoughts, and other times it may be adulteries, and still another time it may be theft and covetousness, and another time it may be pride. They all soil our garments. And sometimes it's not just one of them. It's a whole multitude of sins that are stirred up and that come out of our hearts. And all this means, this filth, that means that we cannot stand before God. It means that we deserve to be banned from the presence of God. Also those, the multitude in heaven that we see. But we are speaking here of also glorified children of God. They have come to wash their robes. They have come to see that they were filthy. How did they come to see that? Well, it may have been in different ways, but they've all come to see the filth of their sin. Because the soil, the dirt of the world has soiled them. And the filth of their own hearts has continued to run. And they knew that they could not hide it from the Lord. They could not cover it up. Nothing could be hid from the sight of God, not even their filth. And they've been uncovered to it by the Holy Spirit. And they have sought for washing. And for those needing to wash their robes, is there washing? Where? How? Well, that's our second point, the method of washing. Heaven says that there is a place where sinners can go for washing. There is a place where sinners can be washed. It's a place of sacrifice, where a lamb was slain, where blood poured forth. Where the Lamb of God was slain on the altar of Golgotha. Blood was shed for the cleansing of the vile and vile sinner. And sinners are cleansed by the blood of Christ. But when we listen to carefully to what heaven is saying, then it doesn't say that their robes have been washed in the blood of Christ. For when we listen carefully, then we see that these saints have done their own laundry. The launderer has washed his filthy clothes. That's what the elder in heaven is saying to John. These are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They have washed their robes themselves. Does that mean that they can do so of themselves? Does that mean that we have the ability to wash our robes ourselves? Is that what we must conclude? No. For salvation is of the Lord, and that is also the song which is sung by the saints in verse 10, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Should we then change the words of our text? And should we, instead of saying, they have washed their clothes, we should change it to say, their robes were washed? Shall we change what heaven says? This is what an elder in the presence of God is saying. Shall we change that? Oh, let us honor what heaven says. That what it says of these redeemed ones from different tribes and nation, that it speaks of their activity. That they have done their own laundry. They have washed their own robes. How? Well, you see, the Lord has made them active. The Lord has uncovered them to the filth of their hearts. That is, before God, He has uncovered them by the Holy Spirit. And they've come to see themselves as they are. And what a shocking reality it is when the Lord opens their eyes. And sometimes they think, perhaps in the midst of the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, that men around me must be able to see how filthy I am. And they must be able to see how corrupt I am. But they know that even if no man sees how filthy they are, they know God sees them. And they've become grieved. And they've become burdened because of their sins. But when the Holy Spirit shows them their sin-stained robe, then the Holy Spirit also does more. For the Holy Spirit then doesn't stop there. He doesn't do a partial work. For the Holy Spirit also shows them where they can go with the filth of their sin and guilt. And He can show them the only place where they can go for cleansing. And they come to seek for cleansing. And they come to seek for their purification outside of themselves in Christ's blood. The Holy Spirit makes them desirous for that blood. And He makes them see the suitability of that blood and the sufficiency that is in Christ's blood. And He shows them they must go. He shows them that they cannot stay back. For if they stay back, then they have no access to God. And so they must go. And they must wash. Sometimes they may be afraid, and they may ask the question, may I go? For I am a leper, as that woman with the issue of blood. May I go? Everything seems to forbid me from going unto the place of washing. But that question also becomes this, I must go. I cannot stay back. And you see, then they go out unto Christ. They go out unto Him in faith. In faith, they must flee to the Lamb of God who shed His blood for a full remission of sin. And so they must go to Golgotha in faith, running to the Lord, running to His blood with the prayer, Lord, wash me. O Lamb of God, this robe that I have on my soul is filthy, but I must be washed in Thee and in Thee alone. And that has happened with all those who are before the throne of God. No one will ever stand before the throne of God who has not fled to Christ for cleansing. Have you fled to Christ for cleansing? Do you know this fleeing to Christ? Do you know of a needing to go to Him? And do you know of this faith that goes out after Him? But you say, I am poor. And I don't know everything, Pastor. But this I know, that when you preach Christ, my heart goes out after Him. This faith that goes out after Him for cleansing and for pardon in the blood of Christ. So that tells us that there came a time with all those saints in heaven in which they saw for the first time their guilt. And also saw for the first time the blood. And they could flee unto that blood of Christ for cleansing. And that's not the only thing that marks them. What marks them further is that they are a people that went daily unto the blood of Christ. Do you know this fleeing to Christ? Or do you not know your sin? Are you someone who has never realized how filthy you are before God? Have you never realized that you are filthy before God and that you cannot cover it up? Have you never seen that you are stained by thousands of sins? Now, some people, they do that with their clothes. They wear their clothes, and after the day is over, they throw their clothes in a pile. The next day, they pick up their clothes again, and they go back to work. And this is the same, that same night, they do the same thing. Throw their clothes on a pile, and it stays there, and it doesn't get cleaned, and it doesn't get washed, and they put it on the next day. They don't know how filthy it is. And they don't know that they stink. And they don't know that it's dirty. And that's how it can be with many also when it comes to the robe that is over our soul. You simply ignore it. Now there are others who say, yes, I am a sinner. But they're never burdened by their sin. They say, I know that I'm a sinner. And yeah, I know I'm not so good. But they never flee unto Christ for cleansing. They never see their need of the blood of Christ. So they can join piously in and say, I'm a sinner. Isn't everyone a sinner? But they've never been washed. And such who continue like that will be excluded from the presence of God. And there are others who see their sin and who are troubled by their sin, that they do something else. They try and wash their own clothes. They try and wash their own robes with their own cleaning detergents. They've come up with their own self-cleaning supplies. And some of them, they try to scrub themselves clean in their earnest outward obedience. And they try to make themselves clean that way. If only I obey a little bit more. If only I sin less. And will not God's people seek the ways of obedience? Yes. But God's people will never wash themselves in such a cleaning detergent because it doesn't clean. And still others, they clean themselves with the cleaning detergent of ceremonies. They think this to make themselves clean by religious ceremony, by praying, by church going, by looking to their baptism or going to the Lord's Supper. And will not God's people love the ordinances that God has given in His house? Yes, but they will never wash their robes in that cleaning detergent of the ceremonies. Because that will not clean their souls. And so, all those who invent their own cleaning detergents, they refuse the only detergent, reverently speaking, the blood of Christ. Oh, some will try and be active in this, and some will be trying active in that, and some will say to the question, oh, what about my sin? They'll say, oh, but you go to church. As one man told me this past week, I went around to various churches and I asked them, but what about my sin? And they said, oh, don't worry about that, you're pardoned. And they never directed the sinner to the blood. Some they will engage in this and some will engage in that, but they never resort unto the blood of Christ. They never fly as vile wretches unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever they do, they bypass the blood of Christ. And when you bypass the blood of Christ, you offend Christ. You offend Him who gave His blood to cleanse sinners. Without the blood of Christ, there is no entrance into heaven, dear friends. Without the blood of Christ, there is no standing among that blessed and happy company in the heavenly city. Without the blood of the Lord Jesus, there is no cleansing. There is no salvation. Though you may be orthodox and though you may be outwardly religious, if you seek for salvation outside of the blood of Christ, you cannot be saved. and all those who have not washed their robes in the blood of Lamb, there's a call to you. And it is an earnest call that you need to wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb. And you must wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb, and you may wash your robes in the blood of the Lamb. And you need to do it before it is too late. And still today, dear congregation, the blood of Christ may be preached unto you. And if you see something of your filth, though it be but a small spot, perhaps that is all that you see, you must fly unto this blood of Christ. And perhaps you say, but I don't see my sin, and I don't see my filth. Well, then you can turn to the Lord still, and you can ask Him that He would open your eyes, and that He can give you what you are needing. For the elder in heaven is giving a warning also on this afternoon, that there will be none in heaven who have not washed their robes in the blood of Christ. Those who are before the throne of God, they have washed themselves, fleeing unto Christ, not being able to stay back, with the feet of faith, washing themselves in the only basin in which they can wash their dirty robes, the blood of the Lamb. Did these saints in heaven try other ways to wash themselves? It doesn't say. But we can say this, that these saints have found no washing anywhere else but in the blood of the Lamb. And the filthiest robe has been washed in that basin. And what is the effect? That's our third point. The effect is that the garments that are washed in the blood of Christ, they are made white. The moment a sinner applies to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, the moment he brings his filthiness to Christ, that very moment he is made white. And Christ says to his Father, Father, also for this sinner I have made satisfaction with my blood. Also for this sinner I have shed my blood. Also this sinner I have washed. I have given my life to wash away his guilt and to renew his heart. My blood was shed for this filthy robe. And all those filthy stains that are of that robe have been transferred to me. And I have borne it all away. And all my purity and righteousness is transferred to Him. There is a full pardon in the Lord Jesus Christ. Full cleansing for all sin. And the Lord Jesus can say to His Father, Father, I know this sinner who has applied to me, he may not believe it. And he may not feel it. But I will make him know that he is washed in my blood. And so, those who are washed in the blood of Christ, what happens when they breathe their last breath? Then heaven receives them, for they have been washed in the blood of Christ. And that sinner owns a white robe. And that white robe cannot be taken from him. And what kind of a white robe do you think the saints in heaven have? Don't you think that it must match the glory and the beauty and the purity of heaven itself? It is so glorious. Are we told anything about this? Are we given a glimpse of anything about how white their garments are? Yes. In the Mount of the Transfiguration, where the Lord Jesus was transfigured before those three disciples, then we read that His raiment began to shine as exceeding white as snow, as no fuller on earth can white them. Mark 9, verse 3. Such are the saints in heaven, and they can never dirty themselves again. On earth, God's people do. The dirt of the puddles splash on them, and their hearts still pollute them. But in heaven that is not possible. They are holy, pure, and white. That is the one effect. We can mention also two other effects, but this is the first effect. It has to do with their garment. They are white, as no fuller on earth can white them. as no launderer on earth can white them. A second effect has to do with their place. The first effect with their garment, the second effect with their place. They are in the presence of God. Verse 15 tells us that, "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." Those who are washed in the blood of Christ, they are saved from eternal damnation and perdition. They are saved from being cut off from the presence of God and brought unto communion with God, never to miss the Lord again, never to part from Him again, but to be with Him and to be in His presence. Oh, dear children of God, I know you are prone to leave Christ now, but in heaven that will not be possible. In heaven, they will never leave Him, and He will never leave them. And when God's people hear of that, when they hear of these saints being in the presence of God and in heaven itself, what does that do? Sometimes it makes them homesick. Are you ever homesick for the presence of the Lord? And there's a third effect, and that has to do with their worship. For the elder says they serve Him day and night in His temple. Their hearts are fully devoted to the service of the Lord, and they serve the Lord, and they do so with gladness. Oh, now their hearts can be so cold, and their service for the Lord can be so dead. And sometimes they think of themselves while they are at work, or while they are engaged in doing some things, then they long for the night to come, when they may for some brief moments worship the Lord, but when the night comes, then they find themselves weary and tired. Listen, there they serve Him day and night. Oh, I know that because of the old man, God's people, they find themselves slothful to serve the Lord as they should and as they would. And there can be so much still self-worship, and there can still be so much pride, but then in heaven they will worship Him fully as He would be worshipped and should be worshipped. They will worship Him willingly, constantly, lovingly, truly. Why will they serve Him like that? Because there is perfect communion. And where there is perfect communion with the Lord, there is also perfect devotion to the Lord. Constant praise. Next week, dear friends, the Lord's Supper will be spread in our midst. And that feast says something. That feast tells us that there is a full pardon in the blood of Christ. And Christ hands out the tokens of bread and of wine, and He says, "I am the only foundation of your salvation. I am the only foundation for your pardon and your cleansing." And who are invited to that feast? Those who see their filth. Those who know and feel that they lie in the midst of death. Who feel their sins and their infirmities, whereby they soil their garments daily. And they see that I deserve to be banned and cast out of the presence of God forever. Because of my filth and my guilt, because of who I am. But not only do they know their filth, they've also come to seek for their salvation outside of themselves in the Lord Jesus Christ, finding that they can find no more cleansing and no other cleansing anywhere else. And how may I know that I belong to that company in the way of self-examination? Dealing honestly with our souls before the face of God, asking for light from Him, and asking whether we know the marks of grace, whether we know true humility before God. Because those who wash themselves in the blood, they can only come denying themselves. And do we know true faith in Christ? And do we desire to live a life of thankfulness to the Lord? Those who have washed their robes in the blood of Christ, have you done so? Then you are welcome in heaven. And if you are welcome in heaven, we may not hinder you from coming to the table. We may not stand in the way, whoever you are. But if you don't know something of your sin, and if you don't know of fleeing unto the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are not welcome at the Lord's Supper. But then neither are you welcome in heaven. Take that to heart, all you who can sit in the pew, but will not flee to Christ. Heaven is closed for you. And then I think, what if we were to tell them that they could come to the Lord's Supper table by having washed their clothes? You know, their clothes. We don't tell them that. Because it's not about washing your outward clothes. But would you wash your outward clothes? If that was what was required to partake of the Lord's Supper, if that what was required to partake of the heavenly people, what is needed is something that makes you cleaner and whiter, that you wash yourself in the blood of Christ, and that blood is still available, and the cleansing power can still be known. Oh, I hear a young person who is sitting here and saying, well, I can't go to the Lord's Supper anyways. I haven't done confession of faith. No, but that doesn't mean that you cannot flee to the blood of Christ. You must flee to the blood of Christ. You must lay hold of Christ. You must flee to Him with all your heart and find in Him cleansing. You must see your filth and you must do it before it is too late. Before this is the last time that you sat in church. And the next thing we hear, He's been taken out of this life. And then it will not do to say, oh, but I did not take these things seriously because I wasn't a confessing member anyways. However young you are, dear boys or girls, you need the blood of Christ. And He shed His blood to wash vile wretches clean. And He still takes sinners. And He still washes them. And He still washes them whiter than snow. He is willing. He is able. Find it in Him. Well, then maybe there's someone else who says, you know, you have spoken of the saved in heaven. I don't feel that I belong to them. I'm not worthy. I will never be worthy to join that company in heaven. I'm so filthy. I'm so corrupt. And I can never clean myself and of myself. And so I guess heaven is shut to me and the table is shut to me. Well, you know, what is your need? Well, you know what the trouble is? The trouble is for you, dear struggling soul, is that you're trying to find some righteousness in yourself. You're trying to find some worthiness in yourself. You're trying to find some purity in yourself. But when you look and you try and find for that, do you find it? No, you find none. You find so much sin. You find that sin began in the womb already, and that went on in your sins of youth, and how wretched and wicked were your sins of youth. And then led by the Spirit, what then? Oh, then you must flee unto the Lord. And there you must confess your sins with a broken heart pleading for mercy. And there you have to go then to Golgotha to be washed in the blood of Christ. And whether you have gone before or not, sometimes the child of God, he doesn't know and he doesn't remember and he sometimes think it's all amiss with me anyways. But they need the blood of Christ again and again. In Him alone is cleansing. Oh, I know that those in whom the Holy Spirit has begun a good work, you are often discouraged.
You don't see how clean you are. You don't see how beautiful you are in the King's eyes. You find the way to heaven closed. You find the way to the table is shut. And you wonder, has there truly been a work of grace in me? Have I truly been washed? And sometimes you say, I don't know. Search me, O God, that I know I need. And then you say, Lord, if thou hast not begun in me, then lead me to the blood of Jesus for pardon and for life. Such are welcome. Strugglers who end in Christ. Believers who end in Christ. Such are welcome. Sinners, filthy sinners, who need the cleansing blood of Christ. Such are welcome in glory. And such are welcome here below, at the Lord's Supper. And though I know the Lord's Supper, that isn't heaven. But the Lord's Supper is a foretaste of heaven. And it is a foretaste of seeing the King in His beauty. Blessed are those who have washed their garments in the blood of Christ. Amen.